You know, along with that, what I'll say, along also with what we're looking at, and I'm starting a new little series called The Covenant Exchange. This is called The Covenant Exchange. We've been looking really at the same direction of subject. I just did a two-part series called The Journey for the Promise, Journey for the Promises. We've been talking about the promises. You know, when you talk about the promises of God, what you're talking about is you're talking about the covenant of Almighty God, the covenant. You know, we often do this so mindlessly because communion, Lord's Supper has been become such an ordinance in the church. You know, that many times that's the way we approach it is from the standpoint of an ordinance. And what I want to encourage you in is that you approach it from a standpoint of believing, standing faith in the Lord. You know, and that you just don't take it mindlessly. But we do what it says. We do what it says. Do this in remembrance of me. It's become such a ritualistic ordinance that I tell you, a lot of times we don't even know why we're doing it. We don't know what we're doing, and we take no position in heart before the Lord. I want to encourage you, maybe you've not even been taught that, and I understand that a lot of times is because of a lack of teaching in the church. But you know, as we were doing this, because we're looking at the covenant exchange, and I just want to remind you what we just got through a reading here. And you know, it says in verse 25, 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "And he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" You know, so then we understand exactly what the cross was all about. We understand that why Jesus died on a cross and rose again. We understand that what was really taking place. And what was really taking place? Well, yes, he was bringing about the salvation of the Lord, but what he was establishing was the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, because Jesus was given as a promise. He was given as a promise to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? I hope what you hear out of that is the faithfulness of God. I hope you hear that out of the faithfulness of God. You know, that Jesus came as the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. God does not forget his word. He does not forget his word. He doesn't change from day to day. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I pray that you will have a believing heart, that you'll have a bold, courageous heart. I want to encourage you to have a bold, courageous heart in laying hold of that which belongs to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That it will not fall into your lap. It won't automatically happen to you. There are many Christians who suffer greatly when they don't have to suffer the way that they have suffered, because they do not step up to the plate, we might say, to really lay hold of God, to lay hold of the promises of God. You know, and just as I gave testimony there a minute ago, let's talk about healing for just one second right here. You know, healing or deliverance or whatever it would be, you know, you have to take a stand. You have to take a stand. You have to make a determination that I'm going to receive from the Lord, that I'm going to believe upon God. And it takes a certain courageous heart to be able to do that. Sometimes it's a fight. Sometimes it's a fight. Don't think that if you enter into a fight for faith that you're failing. The old evil one, what he'll try to do is he'll try to tell you that if you have a fight for faith going on in your life, then that's unbelief. But it's not. It's not unbelief at all. And this is how you go forward in believing God for the miraculous. This is how you go forward in believing God for the work of the impossible. When there's just nothing out there whatsoever to bring any kind of encouragement at all that God would do that. But yet because of his covenant ways and because of his covenant promises and because he does not forget his word. Believe God for his miracle working power. And maybe you'll have a fight on your hands of struggling with believing it or struggling with fear, with doubt, with unbelief, or whatever it would be. The devil will hit you with a barrage of bombardments to try to talk you out of making that positional stand before the Lord. But don't you give in. Don't you give in, and don't you back down, and don't you believe the lie of the evil one. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You have to get into the fight, right? You have to get into the fight. And if you don't get into the fight, you know, a lot of people think, well, that doesn't sound right to me. And a lot of people don't believe, well, I either got it or I don't. You know, then I'm unbelief. God can't hear my prayer. God can't answer me. But, you know, as you pour your heart out before the Lord, you know, then the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit called the Spirit of Promise in Ephesians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit will take you by the hand and He will lead you to the fulfillment of the most audacious and the most impossible blessings and covenant promises that you could not possibly imagine. Now, how do I say such a thing like that? Because of Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond. Don't you like that? All that we think or ask according to the power that dwells within us. What else do you need? What else do you need? You know, so, and you know, I talked about, you know, journey for the promise, and that's exactly what it is. And I'm just taking a minute before I go on to this, of really expressing this, that it is a journey. And, you know, and condemnation is one of the great works of the evil one. He loves to use condemnation because if he can condemn you and he can get you to feel like that you are failing, then he can get you to back down. You know, you'll be discouraged and all those type of things and negative things, and you'll have that all filling your heart. There's a war, there's a battle for receiving the promises, and there's also a journey. A journey. Dare to believe God. Okay? Dare to believe God. And don't believe God just for those things that are reasonably seen that could, you know, possibly, I see an avenue or way that could happen. God, come and answer that. You know, it's all right to pray about those things, that the swaying hand of God enter into circumstances and situations. That's okay. But I really want to challenge you right here, right now, that in your faith, to believe God for more. Believe God for more. Believe God to do more. Take a step into the next level of the Lord. Everybody say, Lord Jesus. I say it again. Everybody say, Lord Jesus. I'm taking a step into the next level. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, you know, the Lord heard you, okay? The Lord heard you, and that's exactly what He's going to do, because that's what the Lord does. He waits for open invitation. He waits for open invitation. You know, He never forces anything upon us. Now, I'm going to say this, and you may not agree with me. That's okay. You know, but He doesn't force anything upon you, but boy, He's a great arm twister. You know, He's a great arm. You remember that old thing about twisting your arm? You know, my brother used to do that to me, right? You know, uncle, get your arm twisted up, right? He's a great arm twister, you know, because He knows how to bring us to places that we don't want to go, but yet, you know, kind of, I do want to go, right? You know, I don't want to go, but I don't want to give up that old way of the flesh or whatever it would be. You know, I want it, but then again, I don't want it. You know, I want it, but I don't want to pay the price for it, you know, all of that. You know, but he's a great arm twister. That's just me. That's my position. He twists my arm quite a bit. I know that, you know, but He will lead you. He will lead you. He'll inspire you, you know, and He'll bring provisions of the abundance of the grace of God into your life so that you may be able to step up into the next level. I believe that maybe for some of you, that in itself might be a real revelation. You know, what do you mean? You mean God wants to bring me up into a step up into a different, the next level? Yeah, He does. Yes, He does. He does. You know, and the levels of the Lord and the stepping up never ceases. He's always got more. Everybody say, He's always got more. I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that He's got more? Do you believe that He's got more for you, right? And I don't care how long. I want to speak to a person that's been living in stagnation. You know, I don't care how long you've been living in stagnation and you really haven't seen God do a lot, you know, in the midst of that, because you've had all that stagnation going on that you almost have laid down and quit. You know, God wants you to get back up. He wants you to get back up. He wants to bring encouragement back into your heart. Let it be departed to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. A work of the Holy Spirit of encouragement is coming upon you and coming into your heart. It's going to bring inspiration to you in a new way and in a living way that you've not had before. And it's going to propel you forward. It's going to cause you to want to stand. You're going to want to stand, and you're going to be encouraged to stand. And there's going to be a release of a new boldness, of a new boldness that's coming upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise his name. Well, it all begins here. I want you to go, I said, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're starting this new series on the covenant exchange, you know, and I'm going to read this, and then I may read it a couple of times, and then it goes in here on verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so what is he saying is that he's talking about what grace has brought. What grace has brought to you and brought to me in this new covenant. Remember, I read that a minute ago, right? You know, that we take of communion, and, you know, this is the new covenant in my blood. So that's what he's talking about here. And he's talking about that covenant exchange. He's talking about that covenant exchange. "Now, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor." I want to make this personal for just a minute. And do you notice that the phraseology here, "yet for your sake," okay? You know, "for God so loved the world." That's more generalized, isn't it? Right? You know, "but for your sake." You know, this is something for you to take or and to receive from the Lord. You know, and I'll address it for just a minute. A lot of times this has to do with prosperity messages. I love prosperity, the true prosperity of Almighty God. And a lot of times prosperity is being presented in the church as equating down to money. There may be things that are more precious to you and you need a whole lot more than money, right? Okay? Because money won't change you. Now, he will bless your finances, and if you need God to bless you in your finances, then, okay, you ask God, and he will bless you in your finances. But prosperity has a lot to do with a lot of other things more than just simply money. I'm going to say that every time I talk about prosperity, and the reason I'm going to say it every time is because there's been such a barrage of misinformation and wrong teaching when it comes to this particular subject. Everybody hears money, right? And they hear money, all right? Well, there's more to it. You know, and then this is one of the scriptures a lot of times it's used, right? But this is not just simply talking about money. It's not talking simply about prosperity. You know, although it uses the word rich, and I'll explain that as we go along right here. But what this is describing is the covenant exchange. That's what it's describing. It's describing what we read about and took communion over in remembrance of me. You know, this is the new covenant in my blood. He's now describing the working of the new covenant, the covenant exchange. And what you have entered into in the Lord Jesus Christ is that you have entered into a covenant. When you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, you not only received the salvation of the Lord, you not only received being born again by the Spirit of God, but you entered into and became an heir to the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's yours. It belongs to you. It's been given to you. And these are important things for us to know. You know, we don't want to walk in that old mindset and that old idea. We think it's humility, but it's not. And that is that, well, you know, God can just do whatever he wants to do. You know, well, if God wants to bring that into my life, then, you know, okay. You know, God, you just go ahead and do whatever you want to do, and that'd be all right with me. That's a wrong attitude. You understand that, don't you? You know, that is not faith, that's passivity, right? That is not faith, that is passivity. You know, don't turn, but I just want to, just, you know, kind of give you a little example of this. You know, I'm going to read. Let me read. You listen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, it says right here in the last verse, 31, it says, "But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way." Did you hear that? It said, earnestly desire. You know, and a lot of people's attitudes are like, well, you know, if the Lord wants to give it to me, you know, it's okay, you know. And that, even about with speaking in tongues, that's what a lot of people do. That's their attitude that they take. They probably won't. They probably won't. It'll be truly by the grace of God that they will ever speak in tongues, even though it belongs to them, right? You know, because they're taking a wrong position. They're taking a wrong position. Now, I want you to know that, and that's not only, you know, I'm talking about gifts, because earnestly desire. Don't just desire, right? And it didn't say that. It said earnestly desire. Boy, I mean to tell you what. I want to tell you, there's another point here to be made in receiving the promises of God. And part of that is the depth or the degree of your hunger. How hungry are you for the things of God here this morning? How hungry are you for the things? Do you need to rekindle or relight the fire that you once had, but maybe you just really not on fire for the Lord the way that you had been? I mean, this is the way of the evil one, you know, is to cause us to become distracted, you know, to cause us to become preoccupied. A big one is discouragement. Discouragement. Any discouragement that's in your life, deal with it, you know, because it's going to be a hindrance to you in your faith in being able to go forward. You have got to deal, because it's spiritual in nature. It's not under circumstances or conditions. It's not just thoughts. It's not all of those things. You know, it becomes a work of bondage that the evil one will give you a preset in approaching everything, is that you automatically start out, you know, with discouragement. Well, and I'm going to ask God, you know, to do this and do that. And then, you know, you get a fiery dart, and that fiery dart is, yeah, but you know, he probably won't. Right? You know, there is a challenge that the evil one always comes forth with those that want to go on with God. You know, the reason is because you're kind of dangerous. You may not know that, but the evil one knows it. You're kind of dangerous, you know that? You know, because he knows really who you are. He just hopes that you don't ever discover who you are. And that's why he's going to challenge you. Do you understand? He's going to challenge you. And one of the great things he wants to you to be tied to is what you feel and what you think. Right? You know? I mean, you know, that's the way the evil ones always challenge the people of God, the men of God, the instruments of the Lord. You know, he's always challenged them. You know, and the first thing that the evil one will hit you with, I'm going to stand, I'm going to believe for the miracle working power of God. You know, I'm believing for the realm of the impossible. And the first thing the evil one will hit you with is, oh, well, I mean, who do you think you are? You know. Who do you think you are? You know. And then you're like, yeah, what's got into me? You know. Boom, you just got robbed, right? You just got robbed, you know. You know, and the evil one is great at bringing false accusations. Do you know that? The evil one's great at bringing false accusations. You know, he'll try to hit you with things that you haven't even done, or that you don't even really think, or that you don't even really feel. That's why you have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, you got to get into the fight. You have to get into the fight if you're going to take a step to the next level in the Lord. You got to get into the fight. It won't just simply fall into your lap. And the evil one's going to challenge you every step of the way. You know, you're going to say, I'm going to believe God. And then the next thing he'll hit you with is that, you know, he'll hit you with, oh, you're being prideful. That's just spiritual pride. that you think that you can believe God for stuff like that? You know, pray for the city. You know, let's let the walls of bondage and darkness come down in the mighty name of Jesus. And you begin to pray. And then the first one, who do you think you are? What are you trying to do? You know, look at all of that spiritual pride you got thinking that way. You do recognize that's a work of the evil one, right? That's a work of the evil one. You know, you have to stand up in the Lord. You have to stand up in the Lord. And I might as well go ahead and make this now, even though it's, middle of my message. You know, in October, and I hadn't announced it before now, but I will now. I'm going to do it now. And that is October is going to be Take Back the Ground Intercessory Prayer Month. That's going to be in October, and we're going to have intercessory prayer every Sunday night from 5 to 6, all right? From 5 to 6, and it's intercessory prayer of take back the ground. I'll let that know. Listen, we got a calling to be answered, right? We got a calling to be answered, and that answer comes through the power of God. You know, it's letting ourselves be used of the Lord. It's taking up the weapons of our warfare. It's taken up our position of who we are in Christ and walk after it. And God does the work. He's looking for a people that he can work through. He's looking for a people that will let go of the trappings of the way of the world and the people that will look for the way of the Spirit that has been promised through the word of the Lord. The church by and large has given up its power. The church, by and large, has given up its power. There's pockets of people here and there that walk in the power of God, and there's occasionally a church here and there, but by and large, the church has turned away from the way of the Spirit, and they've chosen the way of the flesh. And they use fleshly means in order to attract a crowd or to find people. Amusements is huge and big. Entertainment is huge and big. All of those trappings. And people, by and large, are carnal as a whole. And they find that appealing. And they see that as being spiritual when it's got nothing to do with being spiritual in any form or fashion. You know, God's looking for a people who will say, we're not going to go that way. We're going to go the way of the Spirit. We're going to go the way of what we see in the book of Acts. We're going to go the way of the reliance upon the Holy Spirit of the living God. We're going to ask God to do what only God can do. And other than that, we fail. That's as a church, and that is as, you understand, personally. I can't change lives. I can't bring healing. I can't bring miracles or any other things. But the Holy Spirit is the one that does that. It's the Holy Spirit, and God is looking for a Holy Spirit people. That's what it, that are not ashamed of the things of God. They're not ashamed of the things of God. And they're willing to go through the ridicule. They're willing to go through the persecutions. Because I guarantee you, when you start walking after the way of the Spirit, the ridicule and the persecutions are going to come. Because the evil one wants to shut it down as fast as he possibly can. Because he knows where that goes. He knows where that goes. He knows that those people become a Holy Spirit people. And they begin to believe God in a greater way. And they open up their heart to the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit personally and also corporately. That my goodness, that they know they can affect their city, they can affect everybody around them, they can affect their state, they can affect their country, they can affect the whole world. We got to shut it down, is the mind of the evil one. So keep you afflicted as much as he possibly can, so that you can't be see beyond the war. Here's another one I just want to, I just want to maybe read just a couple other things right here. That was, I read that, and that was in, I said that was in, let's see. That was in 1 Corinthians 12. Just listen to this one for just a minute. This is now I'm in 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm just going to read verse 39. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Okay? All right? Well, there's that phraseology again. Desire earnestly. You know, desire earnestly. Okay, you know, so you understand. So did you hear that? So it's a right thing to desire to prophesy. Matter of fact, it's not just supposed to be a ho-hum attitude, mindset, but what it's supposed to be is to desire it earnestly. Did it say that? Did I read that? Okay, desire what? Everybody say earnestly. Earnestly. That's how you go forward in Jesus. Because God's not going to force it on you. He's not going to force it on you. All right? You know, so I just made reference to those things. And the reason I made reference is because, you know, spiritual temperature has a lot to do with being able to receive from God. All right? Spiritual. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will seek to raise your spiritual temperature. Okay? You may go through some struggles. You know, there's a doctrine out there that teaches basically if you got any struggles, something must be wrong. You know, and this is just not true, and it's not real doctrine in the Lord. And you know how many people, if they have things go wrong, and you know how many people in the church, if somebody has got something that they're going through, and they secretly think, I wonder what's wrong in his life. Right? I wonder what's wrong in his life, you know? That's happening to him. That's happening to her. Wonder what's wrong in their life. Because they bit into teaching that is incorrect. Okay? They bit into teaching. Now, I believe in standing in covenant with God. All right? And I believe not being afflicted with anything and everything that comes down the pike. I mean, if God has me to walk through something, then so be it. All right? Because he's the Lord of my life. And I'm going to believe him for everything. Right? I'm going to believe him for everything. But I'm also going to be submitted to him as my Lord. Right? Okay? You know, God is doing things because he's got a greater desire. He's got a greater purpose. He's got a greater mind that you may not even see. That you may not even see that where he wants to bring you and I to in a place in him that we don't even really fathom. That's what God is doing. You know, so I hate to say it, but problems and struggles and difficulties cause you to cry out to God for more. I mean, it just does. It just does, you know. You know, I think I've said it before, but Charles Wesley said that in hard times, the church flourishes. In good times, the church tends to die out. Now, I'm not wanting any hard times, right? I don't want any hard times. But if God allows me to walk through something, it's not going to shipwreck my faith. Right? God's a covenant God, you know, and although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Isn't that what it says, right? I'm walking by. Yeah, and I'm going to keep on walking too, right? I'm walking by the shadow of death, but I'm going to keep on going. You know, and so, you know, that's where, you know, God lets things happen. Yeah, I know you're like me, I'm sure, you know. I've lived a few years. I don't mean that about you. I mean it about me, okay? You know, I've lived a few years, you know, and I've suffered surprises in life, right? You know, have you suffered surprises in life? Sure, right? Not everything's always rosy. You know, you're not walking in the Spirit because everything goes rosy all the time, right? You know, but there's a lot of teaching. And what's that teaching about? What's that teaching about? And what that teaching about is the it's a work of, you know, it's doctrines of demons. You do know that the devil loves to come to church. Do you know that the devil loves the pulpit? I hope you know that, right? They're not all just out there, right? Okay? You know, the devil loves the pulpit. And one of the great afflictions that the church suffers is doctrines of demons. All right? That's not my word. That's the word of the Lord right there. Doctrines? What is doctrines? Doctrines are teachings. right? Are you hearing me? Teachings, doctrines, teachings of what? Of demons. You know, that's why we really need to be a people of the Word. You've got to be a people of the Word. But anyway, so what's all that about and those teachings like that? You know, is so that, you know, to rob you of your faith, to rob you while you go through affliction, you know, that you feel condemned. It's very difficult to walk in faith when you feel condemned. Right? Right? So you understand that all that is to make you feel bad about yourself, make you think that something's wrong, because if I was really walking with God, this wouldn't be happening to me. If I was really walking with God, this wouldn't be happening to me. And it is a weapon against your faith. All right, I'm going to close this out, but I've just been doing this introduction to the covenant promises, to the covenant exchange. Read the rest of this in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, all right? Now that particular word, placisos, that is the Greek word for rich. It's spelled P-L-O-U-S-I-O-S, placisos. And this is what it means. It means wealth. It means abundantly or rich. All right? Even though he was rich, look here, yet for your sake, he became poor. All right? Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute. You know, that the word poor is pochia. It's spelled P-T-O, accent on that, O-C-H-E-I-A, pochia. And it means beggarly. It means destitution. It means poverty, and it means poor, right? And remember, I said this the other week. I said that, you know, when you don't have a future, you can't get any more poor than that. Because if you don't have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have a future. And if you can't get any lower than that, because it don't matter. Nothing else matters. You know, you go ahead and fill up your bank account. You go ahead and do this, and you go ahead and do that. And everything else, you know. By the way, this transhumanism is something else, right? This transhumanism, and you know what this is? This is people who are anti-God. This transhumanism is a people who are anti-God. They're anti-God, and they want to live forever. You understand that? They want to live forever. They think they're going to live forever, you know, and so they're going to reproduce body parts and the like and the thing else, you know, and their great hope, you know, here comes Mr. Old Fuddy-Duddy. Here I am, okay, Mr. Old Fuddy-Duddy. But they're going to do it through AI. That's how they want to bring it, okay? We can't stop AI. It's coming. And it's kind of like the internet. There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of bad things. Okay? I mean, and so is AI, right? And so is this transhumanism. You know, live forever. These are unbelieving people that do not believe in God, and they do not believe in eternal life whatsoever. And they're going to create their own. And so this is what's coming our way. All of this is coming our way, quick and fast. And we better be prepared. We better be prepared in our hearts. We better be prepared in our homes. We better be prepared in our families. And we best better be preparing our children in that. And that's why we're going to stick close to the promises of God. We're going to be a bunch of old fuddy-duddies, right? Everybody say, I'm an old fuddy-duddy. Because we're going to believe on the, well, you know, how quaint, you know, we're going to believe on the promises of God. We're going to adhere to the Word of God. We're going to call what the Word of God calls sin, we're going to also call it sin. You know, we're going to call righteousness what the Word of God says that's righteous. You know, churches are more and more, especially a lot of mega churches. I'm not picking on them. I'm really not. But a lot of mega churches, you know, they make it a part of their church practices that they don't talk about sin. Don't talk about sin. And let's certainly don't talk about immorality. Oh, good Lord, are you kidding me? We're going to talk about morality or immorality. What does the Word of God says? What is immoral? What does Word God? It hasn't changed. I don't care how many people are living in immorality. Immorality is still a damnable sin, and it hasn't changed. Even though now half the church is involved in it. And we got to be that kind of people if we're going to, and I'll use this word in a good way, if we're going to survive. Okay? If we're going to survive, we're going to keep the faith, right? You know, and we're going to press on, and we're going to see the glory and power. God is trying to intervene into the earth with all this darkness. And he's saying, may my people believe me. Can I find a people that will walk in my covenant word? Can I find a people that will believe what the word says? Can I find a people? Can I find a people that I can funnel through and that I can walk through, you know, and I can show myself mighty. I can show myself strong. And God wants us to be that kind of a people. I'm going to finish up here so you understand that, you know, that word there. So there's no greater poverty than being lost and having no future, right? No matter how big your bank account is, you know, you are poverty stricken. But we've received the riches. Now, and it's talking, this is covenant language, right? Let me read on. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Now look at this. Look at this. That you, through his poverty, might become rich. That's a covenant exchange. What is the riches? Well, it's not simply how much money you got in your bank account. You know, it's that glory to God. I've been delivered from the world. You know, I've been delivered from sin. I've been delivered from death and all of the destruction and the curse that is on the way of the world and the way of the flesh. We do understand that, don't we? We do understand there's a curse of death on the way of the world and the flesh. There's a lot of Christians that think that they can have it both ways. They think that they can have the kingdom of God and they can still walk after the ways of the flesh and that they'll have the protection of Almighty God. They are deceived. They are deceived. That's where the fear of the Lord comes into the heart and the life of the believer. I'm going to get worldliness out of my life. I'm going to get flesh out of my life. I'm not going to be a fleshly person. I can't live in carnality all the days of my life. That fear of the Lord is a lot missing. But do you see this? This is called covenant exchange. All right, here was what would happen traditionally. I'll close here in a minute. And the covenant would be made. You know, there would be a covenant exchange. Weakness for strength. Provision for lack. Poverty. You take on my poverty and I get the blessings of your riches. You know, my enemies have now become your enemies, right? Glory to God. Promises were made or pledges of commitment. Solemn oaths were taken on both sides, with the pronouncement of curses if the covenant were ever to be broken. There'd be the pronouncing of the blessings. There'd be the pronouncing of the curses. It was a pledge. Now listen to this. It was a pledge of covenant upheld from generation to generation. Okay? These are the roots and the foundation of covenant. And this is what you have entered into in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Word of God refers to you over and over and over in the New Testament as an heir, right? That's somebody that's received an inheritance, right? We're going to take up this covenant promises of God. We're going to walk in the covenant of the Lord without shame, right? Would you all come on, Kathy?